Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from one of my own works called Let Your Kingdom Come, in which we trace the idea of a coming kingdom on earth, and it, who knows, maybe is coming soon. We're talking now about from the man Ezekiel. It's in chapter 36. This is the book that is very difficult for many Christians to believe regarding the coming kingdom. We've believed everything else. Everything else makes perfect sense, it seems, that could happen. Some of the things that Ezekiel talks about are questionable to some. I've gotten to the point where I just go ahead and believe it. There's no need to explain it away. Let's look at Ezekiel 36. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said of you, Aha, the ancient heights have become our possession, therefore prophesy and say, Thus says the Lord God, because they made you desolate and swallowed you up. Again, he's talking to mountains here, on every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations, and you are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, the desolate wastes, and the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations, and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession, with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds, in order to plunder its open country. And then he speaks to all the land of Israel. Therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, and the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury, because you have borne the shame of the nations. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I have raised my hand in an oath, that surely the nations that are around you shall bear their own shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are about to come. For indeed I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the ruins rebuilt. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited, as in former times, and do better for you than at your beginnings. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will cause men to walk on you, my people Israel. They shall take possession of you, and you shall be their inheritance. No more shall you bereave them of children. So Israel is to be a place of honor, not shame, as it is in the world today. Moving on in that same chapter, thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour men, and bereave your nation of children, therefore you shall devour men no more, nor bereave your nation any more, says the Lord God. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations any more, nor bear the reproach of the peoples any more, nor shall you cause your nation to stumble any more, says the Lord God. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Has that happened? No, it hasn't happened. Israel may be hallowed in its own eyes, but the rest of the world, so much of the rest of the world, is not a friend of Israel. But one day, all the nations that are here, that are left, will honor Israel. Next comes a national cleansing upon the return of Israel. Sounds a lot like the new covenant of Jeremiah 31. Has this happened? Listen carefully. For I will take you from among the nations. I will gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Now, if you're thinking 1948, you need to think again, because it hasn't quite happened that way yet. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Has this begun? Yes. In the church, those who have come to Christ out of Israel are experiencing this very thing. But we're talking about a worldwide thing. We're talking about a national thing that's coming, where the whole nation that is left will be this way. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. That's coming. That's coming. Israel will repent of all of its evil works, especially its evil of killing the very Son of God. They will repent. So the land will be no longer desolate. They'll be rebuilding it after Jacob's trouble. Moving on. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. And so they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. So a multitude of people will live in that new land. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock offered as holy sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem on its feast days. So shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men. They shall know then that I am the Lord. So Jews are going to come in from everywhere. When they come in, they're going to be born again. The remnant of Israel will be saved. And once more, you see the material earthly promises, letting us know that the scene is earth, not heaven. This is not the new heavens and the new earth, just a renewal of the old earth. And why fortified? Because even though the earth will be ruled by a perfect Lord, all of its subjects will not be perfect yet during that transition kingdom. Now, consider the dry bones of chapter 37, which retells this story yet another time. You may have heard of the dry bones story and read it in one context, but now listen to it in the context of what we're talking about, the coming kingdom. Notice in the following that people are not being saved and then whisked away to heaven. They're resurrected and regathered and brought back to their land. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord came on me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. I've been there a long time. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, Oh, Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So he said to me, prophesy to the breath, or to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off. That's what the whole world is saying about them, and the church too, but it's not true. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I will cause you to come up from your graves. This is resurrection, and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. And it goes on to say, there'll be no more Israel and Judah in kingdom days. There'll be just one nation. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And then join them one to another for yourself into one stick. And they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by this? Tell them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Well, the promises are repeated. Verse 21, thus then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone. I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land on the mountain of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols or with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Oh, that's not all. David, my servant, shall be king over them. That's what Ezekiel says. And they shall all have one shepherd. We've heard this before, right? They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David, he says it again, shall be their prince forever. Later on in Ezekiel, he's going to talk about the prince. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God. They shall be my people. The nation also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify myself and sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. So David will be king, also called the prince. As I said, there's a prince later in the book, though he's not called David, who seems to be leading the people. Now, we know that this prince of later chapters cannot be the Lord because of the sacrifices that he's asked to make for himself and his family. That won't work for Jesus. Let's look at Ezekiel 39. Let's do it. I will set my glory among the nations. All the nations shall see my judgment which I have executed, and my hand which I have laid on them. The house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. The Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions I have dealt with them and hidden my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. And I will be jealous for my holy name after they have borne their shame and all their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me when they dwelt safely in their own land and no one made them afraid. When I have brought them back from the peoples and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and I am hallowed in them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them any more, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. Yes, Israel comes and goes from the land over the years, it's true. But this passage, as so many others, is talking about the final desolation and the final return and the final entrance of the king to reign over his people. I hope I've made it plain. I think Ezekiel has made it plain. All the prophets have made it plain. There's nothing questionable in anything I've read thus far. Now, next time, we're going to enter those last 9 chapters of Ezekiel, where the prophet seems to have gone off the deep end. But we haven't doubted his words until now, have we? We haven't tried to spiritualize them until now, have we? You haven't tried to interpret them in some way. I mean, it's so clear what he's saying. So let's follow and see what he has to say and not treat these words any differently than we have treated all the others. I'm going to reproduce before you the entire New King James Version text of all of those chapters. It could be very difficult. You may want to skip. I understand. Just go ahead and read it for yourself. Ezekiel 40, verse 1 to 48:35. That's what I'll be doing in the next audios. Again, if you need to just bypass that, I understand. Or just listen to it and be blessed by it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you to let you know about what is truly, literally coming. It is my desire to have before you everything that God has said about the future. My comments will be very few. I only say here again, why not just believe the word of the Lord as it is? Well, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. And as always, I want to tell you about our hundreds and hundreds of audios that feature some of the church's great preachers. Persecution stories from North Korea in English and Korean, Bible studies on a whole lot of things, a blog. We've got the Pastor Land's YouTube channel. We've got books at Amazon.com. We've got Zoom meetings. Just get in touch with me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com, and I'll tell you all about all of that. So this video audio is being released on the 11th of October, 2022, Lord willing. And also, Lord willing, we'll be talking again real soon. Bye-bye.